Good morning, church. Yeah. Okay. We are gathered together to worship the one who loves so much that he defines love. Listen to what it says in 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. God loved us so much, and he extended that love that he offered his Son as a sacrifice for us. So would you stand and join us on a song that commemorates and talks about his love for us. Come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live.
Well, good morning. My name is Jason. I am one of the associate pastors here at Cross Point. We're very glad that you're here with us today. If you're new to our church, there's a QR code in the pew around you. If you just want to scan that and let us know a little bit about yourself, if you have a prayer request, that is a wonderful way to convey that to us also. If you're watching at home, there's a way for you to let us know if you have a prayer request or let us know that you're new to our church as well. So we encourage you to do that. There are a few announcements that I want to call your attention to. And the first is that beginning tonight at 6:30 p.m., we're going to have a college and career community group meet and greet, if you will. They're going to get together if you're in that age group of college age on through career, early career. Something just flew into my eye, so that's weird. Be here at 6:30 p.m. Also, we have women's ministries here at Cross Point. The summer studies are beginning to start. June 7th, Monday evening, will begin, and then Tuesday morning, June 29th, they will start their Tuesday morning study. This year, it's a little different. If you are going to be a part of this study, we ask that you sign up online, and you can purchase your materials then directly from the publisher so that there isn't any, you know, we're picking stuff up for you and who gets what and everything. So you just purchase that directly from the publisher. You can visit yourc3.org/women to understand more about that. Also, our Vacation Bible School planning is in swing and is coming right around the corner. We are in need of food for them, snack donations. If you go online to VBS Snacks, yourc3.org/VBS Snacks, we do have specific things that we're looking for. You know, if you just show up with stuff, that's nice, but there's specific things that they're looking for. They do snacks really, really well here. And so go ahead and visit that and know a little bit more about what we are doing. Finally, actually, two more things. First, we want to thank those who were here yesterday. We had over 25 people here working on the grounds around the church, and I think it looks beautiful out front. Keith Crawford and Allison Parker came together to put that together for us, and so we're very grateful for that. And then today, we want to celebrate with DJ and Amanda Reeser the birth of their son, Jackson Angelo Reeser, 7 pounds, 4 ounces, 19 and a half inches. And he was born this week, and he's their first child, so they're probably trying to sleep right now, and maybe they'll watch this later. But be in prayer for the Reesers this week. Let's pray. God, we're grateful to be able to gather together today for the opportunity that you've given to us to be here with one another. We do pray for the Reesers. We pray for their young family that you would bless them and help them to enjoy each moment of these days. We pray that everything will go well as little Jackson grows. Lord, we're grateful that we can be here, that we can sing, that we can hear your word preached, that we can hear your word read. And I just pray that that we will leave here together different than we came, that we will allow your spirit to change us, that we will listen carefully to what you have for us. And Lord, that in all things we would glorify you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Creation knows the voice that spoke into the void, the breath that brought the dust to life and sang the stars to fall. The darkness fears the voice that drove it back before. And though the night is long, I know your light will drive it back once more.
Would you stand and sing this chorus with us?
One word from you, things change. On your authority, your word, it's true, things change on your authority. My fight is not my own. its end is in your hands. I worship you because I know all things must bow to your command. One word from you, things change. Strongholds not be moved, will spirits not be silenced and cower at his rule? For if my God is for me, then what have I to fear? And I will not deny him the glory that is his. Will heaven not prevail and strongholds not be moved? Spirits not be silenced and cower at his rule. For if my God is for me, then what have I to fear? And I will not deny him the glory that is his. Heaven will prevail and strongholds will be moved. Spirits will be silenced. Power at his rule. I know my God is for me, so what have I to fear? Nothing will deny him the glory that is his.
Of God, the nations at his feet. He breaks the bow and bends the spear and tells the wars to cease. Oh, mighty one of Israel, you are on our side. We walk by faith in God who burnt the chariot with fire. Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord above?
because you're with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of old?
The oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage, I know my God is in control. The oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind waves and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move into the sea, the nations rage, I know my God is in control. Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts?
Sing it again.
Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. This battle, oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts?
Not only is our God, not only can he be fierce with battle with the enemy, he is also our shepherd. As we've been studying for the past several weeks, the Lord is my shepherd. And he makes many promises in that Psalm 23. Let's recite that together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord is my shepherd, he goes before me, defender behind me, I won't fear, I'm filled with anointing. Cups overflowing, no weapon can harm me, I won't fear. Hallelujah.
restores my soul.
Mercy and goodness.
Mercy and goodness. Give me assurance that I'll see His glory.
We already read the psalm together, but we're going to look today specifically at verse 5, which is kind of what Pastor Matt kicked us off with last week. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And to this point in this psalm, as Pastor Matt pointed out last week, we've been focused in and we've been talking about the sheep and the shepherd. And now we have a change in the metaphor. We're moving out of the pasture, if you will, into the banqueting room. We're being brought in, and David now is going to discuss the relationship that he has with God, the relationship that we can have with God in the context of a meal and in the context of coming together in a banquet. During this time, if you were to eat with someone in this way, if you were to eat and drink with them, this is creating a bond of loyalty and of fellowship. It's a declaration of intimacy, of connection, of commitment. The people of the time would see this and they would know, okay, something's going on there. You know, they're eating at that house together. That must mean business is being done, or that must mean maybe that a marriage is being talked about. Something is happening to connect those two. And then this verse reminds us of that connection and of that commitment, while also giving us kind of a snapshot of the Christian life, or a snapshot of what the Christian life can be like. And in that, it reminds us of what we just sang, that we're never alone. That we're never alone, and that even in the presence of our enemies, our good shepherd is still with us. That's how this verse starts. Pastor Matt walked through the table that is set before us last week. And then that next phrase, in the presence of our enemies, of my enemies, really gives us a picture of what David is thinking of. You know, a lot of times if you were to peruse, there used to be Christian bookstores, you would go there and you would look for some fancy something to put on your wall. Anything that talks about the Christian life, it's usually very serene, right? Footprints in the sand, stuff like that. Or it's this picture of just a house backlit, just beautiful enough or whatever. It's the kind of thing maybe that your grandma had hanging up when you were growing up. Maybe it was hanging up in the house somewhere. Even today, if people want to Instagram their Christian life, they get up early, they set their Bible out, highlight a couple posts, passages, get the coffee out, that's important. Make sure that the sunlight is coming through the window onto the Bible. Take a picture, right? Mornings with Jesus are the best mornings, or something along those lines. To give this kind of serene, we're just starting our day off well, it's going to be calm, it's going to be great. And you know what? There are times when that is the Christian life. There are times where everything just seems to be firing well and everything is nice and everything is great. But David gives us a picture. He takes a snapshot, if you will, that is much different than your early morning Instagram. David says he's going to sit down, he's going to eat as well, but in his presence are his enemies. In his presence are the people that want to cause him harm. This is the time of year where you know if you walk in our community, if you run in our community, you need to be aware of the red-winged blackbird. I feel like I warn you about this every year, and people laugh. You laugh because you haven't experienced it, okay? No less than 4 times have I been attacked, all right? And it's really more like harassed, let's be honest. I don't think I can use the word attacked. But this bird that nests, right, and wants to protect its nest and protect itself will attack a walker, will attack someone running. It'll peck at your head and make you think you're something bad is going on. I usually run faster, so it's helpful that way, all right? But when I run now during this time of the year, I do so with a sense of anticipation, with a sense of nervousness, knowing that around me there's something working for my danger. There's something that could come upon me at any moment. In this psalm, as David is talking about something that we would think would just be calm and serene, like a walk or a run, he also says that in conjunction with that, in connection with that, is an enemy. That there's this tension that David is living in, of full confidence in his God, of full trust in his shepherd, and in a sense, not terror, but a recognition that there is an enemy present. And David's understanding of God's presence kind of seems to develop throughout this psalm. It starts that, and they are in green pastures. They're beside still waters. And David's like, and God is there. We're like, yes, that's true. And then David says, but I'm also going through a valley of the shadow of death. And God is there. I'm like, yes, that's true. And now David says, but even more so than that, this isn't just danger upon me. Now it is people who want my destruction, who are near to me, yet God is with me. David's come to understand that in any and every situation, his shepherd is with him. And this isn't something he's just waxing poetic about. It's not something that he just writes down and says, that sounds good, that looks good. This is David's lived life. David had enemies. At one point, King Saul wants David dead. He throws a spear at him while he's playing music, tries to pin him to the wall. The Philistine people seek David's destruction. Later, when he's a king, his own son turns against him and rebels in such a way that David has to flee from Jerusalem with his life. David knows what it's like to talk about being in the presence of his enemies. But even then, he knows that God is with him. And David's story really is the story of the people of God. As the Hebrews are enslaved in Egypt, God is with them and pulls them out of that slavery. As the Jewish people are set for genocide in the book of Esther, God is there, he is with them. As Christ's enemies in the gospel succeed in crucifying, God does not abandon his son, but brings him back to life. In Acts, when we read about Herod, when we read about Saul, when we read about others seeking the destruction of the church doesn't just continue to exist, but it flourishes because God is with his people. And too often we paint this picture of the Christian life as being just nice and rosy and easy and just complimentary, almost like a accessory that we can take around with us. But that ignores what Scripture teaches. There's a table in the presence of our enemies. Jesus says in John 16, in the world you will have trouble. Not you might have trouble, not there could be trouble. He says you will have trouble. It will come. One of the things that we don't really do much here at this church is doomsday preach. You know, we don't get up here and tell you they're coming for you. You know, it won't be long before they're knocking at your door. It won't be long before they're dragging you away. And we're not ignoring what's going on in the world, but we're going to tell you what we think is going to happen. We're going to tell you what seems to be going on in our time and in our day. And collectively here in America, we largely live with the freedom that we don't have to worry about many of the things that believers in other parts of the world do have to worry about. But just because the enemy at our door doesn't have a gun or isn't ready to drag us to jail, it doesn't mean that there aren't enemies out there or that the enemy himself isn't working against believers. Because he is. For us and in our culture, it comes in a more subtle kind of way. And we should be constantly preparing ourselves for the presence of these realities in our life. So that when things do come that seek to bring us some kind of harm in our life, we should be ready to answer that. Again, it may not be physical harm, but it could be being passed over for a promotion because you're known to be an outspoken believer. It could mean that you at some point lose your job or that you're ostracized socially. Maybe you're going to be attacked on social media. Maybe you will even be bullied physically because as you go to your school, you say that you believe in God. It may be that you're mocked by a professor at some point. Maybe you're fined for using language and terms some will deem offensive. Maybe you are at some point in your life arrested for sharing your faith or you go to jail because you believe it's better to obey God than man. I'm not saying that this will happen in your life. There are some in here where some of these things may have happened, but what we need to do is build a mindset that understands these things could happen, and if they happen, it does not mean that our shepherd has abandoned us. That if enemies come, it doesn't mean that God is silent. All right? What it means is that life and the way in which our culture is oftentimes works against what God has said is good. And David isn't denying this. He's not putting his head in the sand saying everything is going to be good. He's not abandoning culture either. He's not trying to distance himself socially from his family or anything that might corrupt him. But he is saying that as he lives in the midst of people, some of whom are actively seeking his demise, that God has protected him, that God has cared for him, and that God has blessed him. And we should expect that enemies in some way will come. But we should also expect the presence of the Good Shepherd. And look at how David describes that. In the shadow of his enemies, David pictures a feast with his shepherd. He is sitting down at the table eating. Now, I don't know about you, but I am a worst-case scenario thinker. And oftentimes, I have a plan in my head. There was a time many years ago when I was still the student ministries guy where I was driving the church bus and someone threw a rock through the window. And it was a crazy moment. And I went the wrong way on a one-way street. I tried to get out of wherever we were at. It was crazy. From that point on, whenever I was driving the bus, you better believe I had at least two exit plans. Like, I can drive over this embankment if I have to. If I have to, I'll throw it in reverse, and that car will either move or will be moved, because this is a bus. I knew how I would get out. I had a plan. All right, I would be keenly aware. I would be ready to go. David here is picturing something different. Not that he's not prepared, but David isn't worried. He's sitting there, enemies are around him, and David sits down to eat. He sits down to rest. Because David is understanding that the same shepherd that's there in the green pastures and in the meadow, the same shepherd that walks him through the valley of the shadow of death, is there when his enemies are all around him. And why would God at this point be anything other than good? We should expect enemies, but we should also expect a growing awareness of the presence of Christ in our life and in our suffering. David moves then. We're still in this banquet, and he starts to talk about oil. And for us, this sounds strange. He says, David says, "You anoint my head with oil." And this for us is a reminder that God refreshes us. Our good shepherd is refreshing our soul. You know, David, again, recognizes the complexity, the difficulty of life, the threats of death and enemies. But even in the midst of that, David is saying, you can take a breath. You can be refreshed. Back during those times when people would come in from being out on the road and they would come to someone's house to share in a meal, they would need to clean themselves up. There's no running water, right? And oftentimes they didn't have water for you to clean yourself with, because water was a hard-to-come-by commodity, especially clean water. So what they would do is they would put a little oil on your hands, put a little oil on your head, and you would rub that around, and it would kind of pull the dirt, the grease, and the grime out of your skin to a point. And sometimes they would scrape it off. Other times they would use some sort of cloth, and they would wipe that off so it would at least give the appearance of clean. I know many of you are like, that is not clean. All right, I am not saying that it is. I'm saying that that is how they approached the importance of just looking clean during that time. And it would refresh them. I think a lot of us have come out of something where it's very hot before and you splash water on your face. Yesterday it felt warm. We here in Michigan are never happy with the weather. And so you probably were outside, a little warm. You know, like a month, like last Saturday or something, it was raining. My kids were freezing playing baseball. You know, and I'm going to complain today, a little warm yesterday, right? I jumped into Lake St. Clair yesterday, and it felt like someone was stabbing me in my back. It was so cold. So again, I wasn't pleased with that, all right? But it did wake me up. It refreshed me in a sense. It reminded me that, hey, you're alive. Maybe not for long. Get out of the water, but you're alive, all right? David is saying that in this part of this banquet, part of this intimate relationship that we have with Christ is that he refreshes us. See the language there. You anoint my head with oil. It doesn't say you provide me with oil to anoint myself with, or you put oil on the table. You anoint my head with oil. Jesus is doing something very intimate. The shepherd is actually anointing the person at his table and refreshes them in a way that they cannot do on their own. One of the things that we find just living our life in this culture, in this time, in this world, is that oftentimes we're in need of refreshment. I mean, I don't know about you, but the longer I spend in things that maybe aren't the best thing, the more I feel like I need to be refreshed. And Pastor Matt set those two tables up last week, and how many times do we find ourselves drawn to the table of the world? One of the things that I know I can do sometimes is go down a dark rabbit hole of something on social media. And I can start reading through the threads and reading through the comments. And I tell myself, I'm doing this because I'm the pastor. I need to know what they think in this community. I need to know how people are talking. And really, it's my curiosity, my desire for gossip, and just that kind of mindset where you're like, I can't look away. I can't believe people are saying these things. And I just go down that rabbit hole. It could be about anything. It could be about COVID-related things. It could be about school-related things. It could be about just community-related things or political things, and you can go down that rabbit hole, and I can spend way too much time. And you know what I never feel like at the end of that? Good. I never say, that was 30 minutes well spent. I really feel like I have a handle on how everything's going now that I've read what everyone thinks. No, in fact, it's bad for me a lot of times because then I'll see someone in a school parking lot. I'm like, don't walk by that person. I think they're crazy. That's not helpful. What I need is to be refreshed. What I need is to be reminded again that God is good, that the world is crazy, that the world is off, but that God is good. I need to be reminded that He is there for me. I almost need like a shower in that moment. And to dwell instead from the challenges and the drama of life, dwell instead on what God is doing. You know, one of the beautiful ways in which God has given us that we as believers can be refreshed is what we are enjoying this morning. We are refreshed through God's word. I want to be clear on that. I talk about that a lot, that you need to be reading God's word. You need to be involved in that, and that is something that refreshes us. But one of the great ways that we can be refreshed as believers is to come together and join with other believers. To just be together one day a week at least, to look around in the room and be like, I am not alone. I'm not the only one. To know that there are other people who are suffering as you are suffering. To know that there are other people who are praying for you, who care for you. That's why being together is important. You know, there was a time a year ago where I think for 6-7 weeks we weren't together. And God was good during that time. I want to be very clear. It wasn't like that doesn't count as church. It wasn't like those were dark days where we were never going to come out of it. We knew who God was. We knew what God does. We weren't worried. And there were beautiful moments. We had that C3 Together hashtag where every Sunday morning we would put up pictures of people worshiping in their homes and what it looked like. And one family's in their pajamas worshiping. Other people are out in the nice weather worshiping. And we're trying not to be angry towards them. My parents were in Prague. They were in the Czech Republic, stuck over there for several weeks. And they put a picture of them up worshiping with us together. And that's beautiful. And that was refreshing to a point. But there is something about being able to look at someone, being able to see someone, to have some sort of physical proximity to one another, to know, hey, you're here. I'm here. We're together. To know that, you know what, there are enemies around us, but we're both right now sitting at the same table with the same shepherd. And so we don't have to fear those things because not only is he with us, but you know what? I'm with you too. Now, I know that there are situations and there are circumstances that will always prevent people from being able to join with us physically. I don't want anyone who can't be here because of a physical situation, because of a sickness, or because of something like that, that keeps them from being here. They should never feel bad about that. Some of the people who have been the greatest blessing to me in this church are people that some of you have never met. Rose and Bob Bendure, I've taken communion to. I've gone and sung outside their house. We've chalked up their driveway, but they're not here. Rose used to be able to come. Bob, I don't know if Bob has ever been in our building. But they are wonderful people, and they're a part of our church, but they're prevented from being here physically. So I don't want anyone who's watching at home thinking that I'm picking on them if that is their case. But if we're saying to ourselves, church in our pajamas is just so much easier, I will say to that, number one, amen, all right, but number two, no. And I'm gonna say this, and I'll walk it carefully. I would rather you be here in your pajamas if that's how it has to be. Am I okay there? Pastor Matt says yes. All right, being at home because it's easy will not bring you the refreshment that God wants to give you for being together with God's people. And again, this is not me laying guilt down. It's me just saying that. And we'll let the Spirit do what the Spirit does. But I know that there are people who are an active part of our church that aren't here because of things physically. Bob, Rose, I know Donna watches most weeks. I know Julie's watching most weeks. I know there are other people who are watching. And I'm forgetting names and I'm sorry. But there's much a part of our church as all of us here are. But for those of us who are watching and are like, it's just a little easier at home, come back. Be refreshed. See one another. Realize you're not alone. Realize you're a part of something greater. As David continues, he gets into this idea of the Good Shepherd blessing us. He ends by saying, my cup overflows. So David here is not a half cup guy like some of us. Life's okay. David's like, my cup isn't just full, it is overflowing. And it's easy to say that in the green pastures and by the still waters. I mean, we'd all look around and go, my cup is overflowing. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death, do we feel like our cup is overflowing? Sitting at a table knowing that there are enemies around us, do we feel like our cup is overflowing? Yet David says, listen, all of those things, all of those moments, my cup overflows. And if we read the story of David, we can see all those blessings, the children that God gave him, the kingdom that God gave him, how he expanded that kingdom, the riches that came into David's life, the friendships that we read about him having. All of these different things, we would look and say, David, look at all of those blessings. And we might be led to start to think of the blessings in our life, the health that we have, the children that God has blessed us with, the provision of a job that we have, our spouse and the blessing that they've been in our life, the family that we get to be a part of, the job that God has blessed us with. And we might be tempted to look at those and say, yes, because of this, my cup overflows. And if David were here, he would say, you have it wrong. We have it wrong if we think our cup is overflowing because of those things. I think that's a part of it. We don't want to deny that God has blessed us in many ways. But if I start listing off those things, some of you might be here thinking today, my health is in trouble. I am barely making it financially. I always wanted kids, but was never able to. I would love to be married, but I'm not. My family doesn't always feel like a blessing. I have no job. Is my cup overflowing? Doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it because sometimes when we think of our blessings and when we think of our cup that either is overflowing, filled, or empty, we start putting into it things that are secondary to the larger and greater blessing of God himself. What David is saying here is not that his cup is overflowing because of all those things. He doesn't mention any of that stuff at all. He doesn't talk about his kingdom. We might not even know that this is David, except that the beginning of the psalm tells us of David. The only thing that David identifies in all of this psalm that is a blessing to him is the shepherd, is God. And David is saying, no matter what anything else happens in my life, whether I am in the meadow, whether I am being led beside still waters, whether I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death, whether there are enemies at my door, my cup overflows because of my God, because of who he is, because of the relationship that I have with him. That is what causes David to look and say, I am blessed. I am blessed in an overflowing way. In those moments where you and I are prone to look at the things that we don't have, prone to look at the blessings that others have that we wish God would give to us, we need to remind ourselves to go back and look at the greatest blessing. That even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And because of him, we can have that right relationship with the Father. The band is going to come up and we're going to close with a song. You know, we can understand what David did. We can feel the same way that there are enemies all around us, that this world in many circumstances is not working for our success. We can sense that. We can feel that. And then we can respond in one of two ways. The first way is the way that I normally go, which is absolute paralytic fear. What am I going to do? How am I going to make this work? How can I handle everything that is coming against me? How can I deal with all of the problems of the world? And we become so fearful that we do nothing, that we hide, That we don't just sit at the table, we get under the table. And we look for ways to get out. Or we can do what David does. David does not put his head in the sand. We don't look and act like, oh, everything's fine. It'll always be fine. This is great. David said, there's enemies at the door. I've been through a valley of the shadow of death. This is hard stuff. But what makes it easier, what makes it possible, is that, as we sang earlier, I am not alone. We can be afraid, and we can be a slave to that fear. We can be connected, chained to that fear so that we don't even know how to live our life. Or we can be reminded of the wonderful truth of the gospel, that because Jesus has died for us, we can become a child of God. We can have a right relationship with the Father, and that even in the presence of our enemies, our eyes can be drawn to what God has done for each of us. This song that we're going to close with talks about rescue. It talks about life. And it reminds us of what we once were and what we are now. We once were afraid, and that fear was crippling. But now we're a child of God, such that we can sit at the table while enemies are at the door and not worry. And not worry, not because we're strong, not because we've figured it out, not because we've been there before, but because our shepherd is good and our shepherd is strong. So I want to invite you to stand as we sing.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea for me. You split the sea so I could walk right through. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I am a child.
Father, we are thankful that we do not need to be a slave to fear, not because we're strong, not because we're smart, not because we're brave, but because you are our God. We are your child. Lord, help us as we leave from here today to be keenly aware of the presence of our enemies, to know and understand that there are things in this world that are working for our destruction, but also, Lord, keep us from fearing them. Instead, point us to trust in you, to have confidence in you, and to love you. As we go from here today, may we do all things for your honor and for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm no longer a slave.